But when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Annoying Bluetooth Headset User.
Mr. Annoying Bluetooth Headset User.
The rest of us can't tell whether you're bellowing at a coworker or at your imaginary friend. But there's one thing we can tell. Your incredibly inflated sense of self-importance.
That's right, you're the only one that matters.
When we see that stupid wireless set strapped to your head, we wish it did have a wire so we could strangle you with it and get some peace.
That would make a nice ringtone.
Oh, call someone who gives a crap.
Like some other idiot with a Bluetooth.
So the next time you're frightened by the sound of someone having a loud, one-sided conversation, don't worry. Most likely, it's an escaped mental patient. Or worse, it could be Mr. Annoying Bluetooth Headset User, a real American hero.
Mr. Annoying Bluetooth Headset User.
I really gotta get me one of those.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to May 18th. Today is Tuesday and it's a rainy day in Southern California. Are you happy with the fact that it's raining?
That's not usually my first instinct, but I'm learning to embrace it. Good morning, Sam.
Yeah, good morning to you.
Happy week.
I know
after
you've
your birthday.
said that you don't like rain that much, right?
It's I'm kind of like I wouldn't say a cat because I don't like cats, but you know, an animal that doesn't really like to bathe. Uh-huh. I'm a little closer to that kind of animal.
Yeah.
I'm learning to embrace it because I met a person the other day that said, you know, he misses the Pacific Northwest weather and the fog rolls in, and he just says it is relaxing and calming. Mm-hmm. And he said being in Southern California when it's sunny all the time, it's so much stimulus that it kind of makes him aggravated. Yeah. And I've never thought of that. I don't think my personality has that reaction to it, but it made me look at it differently. Like, oh, cuddle time.
Yeah.
Not that I'm cuddling with anybody, but you get the point.
I do get the point. I don't know. I enjoy rain quite a bit, and also because it's always the same weather here. So when you get a little break, and I think rain makes it all a little cozier.
Well, when you work out outside, that's my primary. That's where I work out.
Right.
In which you can get away with it. It's kind of like, oh man, I can't go, or I have to do something indoors, which I know I won't do anything indoors. I just can't.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? Nothing much to complain about. I mean, just a little rain.
Good.
Yeah. Well, good. He's like, good. I love rain.
Yeah.
Back off. Back off. I'm digging the rain.
Yeah.
Don't make it feel unwelcome. I want it to come back.
Well, it's here.
It is
for
here.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse. We're about to hit June gloom, so that you'll be in hog heaven.
It's already starting now. But June gloom is not necessarily rain. It's just cloudy.
Yeah.
A lot.
I just think that it depends on... Everybody's got a different life that they're living out in L.A., but I think that there's... The weather here allows you to kind of alter your mood to where you can kind of endure a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The traffic, the crazy people, everything's difficult to get from point A to point B here.
Mm-hmm.
Then when it's sunny, you're kind of like, not as big of a deal.
Yeah.
But then when it's kind of overcast and rainy for more than 3 days, you're like, this city kind of sucks. Like, this is rough. This is a rough living. I need my suntan lotion back. I need to be getting my bake on.
I know. People definitely don't know how to drive in the rain here.
No.
That's one complaint I have.
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah. So how are you doing this morning?
We had some friends over last night, and we had a really great time. So I'm feeling a little bit haggard.
Yeah.
But it was good. We had some fun people over. It was kind of a last minute thing.
Mm-hmm.
My roommate's like, I'm gonna cook. I'm like, great. Well then, I'm gonna go get some salad stuff. And so then we started cooking, and I went to the grocery store. I ran into somebody that I met at the LA Comedy Shorts Festival. He didn't have any plans. I said, come over and eat.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had another friend come over and eat, and so we ended up having
you just find people on the street and bring them home.
Why not? Everybody needs to eat. I think it's good to eat with people.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did that. We had a good time.
Yeah. Good.
Till 1 a.m.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty good. You're keeping busy. That's.
Oh, I don't have a problem keeping busy. Yeah.
No, you don't.
No.
So we had the party on Saturday night, and it seemed like you enjoyed it quite a bit.
I did. Are you saying I got a little messy? Yeah, I did.
No, I'm not saying that. I just said you were having fun.
You're right. I thought we were going there. Okay, everybody, I had a couple too many drinks, and it was at Sam's birthday. But it's kind of work party-ish. I mean, it was your birthday, but it was also everybody from the studio.
Right.
So,
but it's still not work.
It wasn't stiff. No, but it wasn't stiff. It was just... It was funny because I did. I had one too many drinks. So I was a little bit like, hey, everybody.
What were you drinking?
Something vodka in it.
Uh-huh.
I just went for it.
That'll get you drunk. Yeah.
No, I mean, I wasn't drunk, but I was just a little bit on that like tipsy kind of
tipsy
like.
Tipsy sign?
Yeah.
Let me be the judge of that.
What did you think? What did you think?
You were not in a position to state what condition you were in.
Well, I just know what I felt like.
Yeah. No, it just seemed like you had a good time.
I had a really good time. No, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything stupid. Totally stayed clothed. I didn't hang off from a chandelier.
Well, you did. I just don't want to remind you, you know.
Whatever. I was totally clothed. No, I thought a lot of the people were cool. It was great to get to meet people from other...
Shows.
Yeah, other shows. And I like that. It was cool. I didn't get, you know...
Yeah.
Kind of getting a feel for what's going on. Because, you know, I don't sit around listening to everybody's show.
Right.
And so it was cool to get to meet people. I'm like, oh, I got to check this out.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of different shows.
Yeah.
A lot of different shows going on. So it was good.
Yeah. But, so you showed up dressed nicely to the nines, and...
I had a party to hit after that, because my roommate's birthday was at Bird. So, it's before I came, there was a barbecue at my apartment complex. So, I show up to the barbecue, like, the way I was dressed. It looked over the top. I said, hey, guys, don't worry. I'm going to two parties after this, which is why I didn't skank it up for the backyard barbecue. They're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, I threw back a hot dog, hung out with everybody, then hit up your party, which was great. And then went to my roommate's husband's little soiree at Bird's, which is my favorite dive by my house.
Right.
And we tow it up in the bird cage.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bird cage. You can get it up and dance in the bird cage.
Oh, you dance in the bird cage.
Absolutely. It's not going to dance by itself.
Like Tweety Bird.
like Tweety Bird. Yeah, it's not going to dance by itself. No, but I had a really good time. I had a really good time. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, I mean, you were getting a lot of looks and stuff. You know, you had your usual cleavage and the mini dress and that.
There's
so
shorts.
You looked pretty hot.
You're so sweet, Sam.
But then you were sitting down, you started kicking in the air, and I thought, you know, you have a mini skirt, you know?
No, they were shorts.
We could see everything. Oh, they were shorts.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, there weren't a mini skirt.
No?
Shorts.
It seemed like it.
And it's like the music's playing, so I was acting like I was kicking to the music.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I was having Tourette's or drunk Tourette's.
No, I didn't think so, you know.
I love partying. There's no way around it. I love music pumping. I love dancing.
Yeah.
I love that corporate kind of vibe. I mean...
Do you think that people, you know, think maybe you're asking for it or something? I mean, asking for people to hit on you in that? You know?
Oh, I don't have a problem.
It's pretty provocative.
Oh, you know, really? Because I didn't think it was that provocative.
No, I think it
is. I actually kind of tightened it up a bit for the party because I didn't want to hear it. I
hate to imagine what you'd be like without that.
Apparently, it didn't work. No, I mean, I didn't feel like anybody hit on me. It felt like it was pretty neutral.
Right.
I mean, I think it's okay to be a woman and celebrate your femininity and feel beautiful and feel girly. I mean... I don't think it's the same. I mean, I didn't feel like I was flaunting anything, to be honest. That's my opinion. I didn't feel like I was flaunting. I felt like I was just dressing the way I felt comfortable and what I felt looked good. And it's a party, right?
Right.
It's a party.
But I think the point you keep missing is that whatever you think is, let's say, sort of conservative or something,
it's not
people,
that conservative.
People don't see that way.
Well, I don't think it should be conservative when it's a party.
I mean, a mini dress or shorts, short shorts, you know, with your legs exposed. And the cleavage says, fuck me, you know? I mean, that's what it says.
Well, that's maybe the way you're interpreting it.
No, a lot of people do.
Well, I guess
that's
what I'm...
society, you
I
know?
Guess what I'm saying...
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're putting the message out there, and then you get irritated when people get a different message.
No, actually, I don't. I mean, I'm doing it first and foremost for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what the point of friction that we're finding is that it just because people are going to read into it what they want to read into it doesn't mean I'm going to pacify their needs.
Right.
So I'm okay with somebody thinking whatever. I mean, if that's what people think, that's what they think. I've had people think that when I've wore more clothing.
Uh-huh.
So I just kind of don't factor that in anymore. What I do try to watch out for is, if I'm in a family environment, I really make an effort to try to tone it down because I don't want to offend women or the marital thing. Because I sometimes don't know if I'm walking into that situation, but if I do know, then I will definitely button
up. But why
up.
Would you be offending them if you dress the way that you
no,
feel is
I,
comfortable?
It, well, it's just more about respecting people's boundaries when they are married because you don't want it to be a distraction. And, you know, people will involuntarily look or feel turned on or whatever. I'm not saying that they are, but I just don't even want it to be something that they have to stress out about.
Right.
If there's like if it's all married people, but if it's mixed and there's no kids, I mean, that's different. You know what I mean?
Shows you're aware of the effect it has on people.
Well, it can have that effect, but I guess what I'm saying is it's a party.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, a party.
Right.
I'm not going to wear a turtleneck to a party.
No, I mean, nobody tells you how to dress. I'm just saying that
and
you shouldn't be surprised if people react to
something. But I didn't get any weird reactions. That's my thing. Maybe you're interpreting that way, which is fine. I don't really care. I mean, it doesn't bother me. But yeah. I didn't have anybody inappropriately talk to me. I didn't have anybody ogle me.
Right. It's because we have classy people here, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I was also going to a bar lounge afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I couldn't just keep going home and changing. You know what I mean? Yeah. You get dressed for the night. And I didn't think I looked bad, actually. I thought
you
I looked.
You did not look bad.
I mean,
I
didn't even think I looked like cheap or skanky. I just felt like I looked sexy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's everybody's perception's different. But
that's
I think there's what's missed in communication is if a woman wants to dress in a way that's attractive and sexy or provocative, that men think they have the right to some ownership of that because that's what they're
saying. No, you keep saying that, but that's not true.
Well, why not just let her dress the way she wants to and you can feel the way you want to and let it be that?
Right.
Because I'm not stressed out.
Yeah.
Because you're acting like I get upset because I'm, you know, I'm not stressed. I mean,
no, but you get upset because you think that people feel a sense of entitlement to you.
No, I don't.
And I think
only
that's
thing
the case.
The only thing I've expressed here is that if I'm wearing what I want to wear,
mm-hmm.
and we're friends and we're in this situation, if I'm wearing what I want to wear, it's what I want to wear. And you can think what you want, but
right.
that doesn't give you the right to constantly bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying. And that just because I'm wearing it doesn't have anything to really do with you. Even if it affects you, it's really not about you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that could be in any situation. I mean, and you just kind of expect that, like, I think women dress sometimes. They don't understand. Women dress for themselves sometimes because it makes them feel pretty and feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's all I can really say.
Okay. All right. Well.
But I didn't think I was, like, that, like, revealing. I mean, I had a little bit of cleavage and...
A little bit?
Yeah.
I mean, you had girls sitting here and telling you that it is, you know, like, provocative the way you dress sometimes.
Who told me that?
Tanya was here. There was another person that said, no, you're putting it out there. Jerry, when he was here, he said the same thing. You know?
Yeah, I just think people are stressed.
No, I don't think people are stressed.
But what's the
I just don't
like,
think
why,
that you understand
you have a
what kind
it?
Of... Not at all.
Well, then I don't
not
have a problem
me.
With it. That's all that matters.
Not me.
If you don't, I don't. See,
I don't think anybody has a problem with it.
But
it's
then
just
why
that
do
you
we
shouldn't
keep bringing
be surprised. It's just that you shouldn't be surprised when
it's
people react
It's almost like they're mad.
Way.
Like, you know what you're doing. You're looking hot on purpose. It's bad.
No,
it's like,
you're reading into it.
But I don't understand why we're still talking about it, though.
Okay, we won't talk about it. We're talking because we have a fucking radio show.
Well, I know that,
we need
Sam.
To talk about something.
I know, but I just don't understand the point of, like, what am I supposed to feel bad about it? Am I supposed to, like, not dress that way? I don't understand the answer.
No. You're just supposed to understand why people react the way they do.
Okay, apart from the radio show.
Entitled to
okay.
You.
Yeah. Apart from the radio show, and I get that we're talking, we're bringing up issues. I get it. I don't really get, I mean, if I'm in like a weird, awkward, scuzzy place, which that never really happens, but I don't really get a weird kind of thing happening. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? I don't really get that weird attention.
Mm.
Most people are too nervous to say anything. So,
yeah. You
know, I mean, I don't get that kind of negative attention really.
Yeah.
I mean, in certain circumstances, I'm sure I could. Like, if I was surrounded by all men in a comedy club, yeah, I'm sure it would be, they would have the balls to say something. But most guys don't.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel comfortable, you know? I don't feel uncomfortable because I just don't feel like it's, you know.
Yeah, so you don't care really what people think. It's about the way you want to dress and that.
I'd say, yeah, pretty much.
Okay, that's
maybe I
cool.
should care more about what people think, but I'm not there yet, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I care about what I think.
Yeah, well, that's a start.
I mean, maybe that's selfish and rude, but I just, you know, I mean, you're going to a party, you want to look pretty and have a
no,
good time.
No, absolutely, absolutely.
Can you win? Can
and,
you not win?
So I'm not here to make you feel bad,
and I don't.
In fact, I'm on the other hand, I think.
I think, too, when people aren't used to, like, young, single Hollywood people, they kind of get like, what are they wearing? It's just, get out. Go see the world. Turn your television on. It's not that big of a deal. Because where I live, it's not out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. And it really is. When you come to the Valley, it's just family. So it is different. It is different.
Right.
I mean, I feel like, am I dressed skanky today? No. No.
No, you never dress skanky.
It's just feminine.
Just revealing. Okay, sexy, whatever.
Whatever.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, I'm not really seeing, seeing the error right now.
So how was the party you went to afterwards? How was that?
It was quick. I got there late. They knew I was showing up late, but we had fun, danced in the birdcage a bit, hung out, and then went home and passed out.
Yeah. Why did you dance in the birdcage?
Because it's fun, Sam. You got to do it.
Really?
Yeah, I'll take you.
What's fun about that?
It's just fun. The music's pumping, and then they put a pole in the birdcage, so, I can't lift my ass up there. But my friend Brian, Crazy Brian, he can like, use his arms and lift his body completely out.
Oh, really?
So I was dancing, and he was doing his thing on the pole, and we're like, running into each other. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's like a big hot mess.
I see.
You know?
Yeah.
It's fun, though. You're in a birdcage, and you're just dancing to music and having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
The people are just snapping little cameras and stuff. I'm sure it'll crop up somewhere.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make it big and famous. They're going to be like, you dance in a birdcage. You're disgusting. You are just disgusting with your cleavage and dancing in birdcages. I'm sure it'll all come up. But did I have a good time? Yes.
You did have a good time.
Oh, man. Yeah. Good. You got to do it. You got to do it. We'll get you there. You and Dana. Get you guys there.
Dance in a birdcage and have fun.
It's fun. The music's pumping.
Okay. You know? I understand. I understand. I just can't picture it. But okay.
Well, it's not like...
It's like a huge cage.
No, it's actually... It's kind of set off. It's not like an animal cage or really. Mm. It's just the back part of the back part of, like, the little platform area looks like a bird cage. It's a play off the name of birds.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. And it's fun. I mean, it's a really... What's fun about it is that it's not your typical L.A. place. Like, I wouldn't go to a typical L.A. club and get in the cage and dance. That's different. That's like... gross. Yeah. I mean, and I don't mean it's gross, like the people are gross, but it has a different cold vibe. It's like, I'm in a cage. I'm in a hat. It's kind of cold. This is kind of like a big mess.
Right.
Like, this is, a lot of people are just going to have a good time, and it's a lot of people that are local, and it's not really that vibe. It's really playful.
Right.
Nobody's taking it serious.
Yeah.
Whereas you go to, like, some LA places that are just very LA, and then there's people in cages dancing. That's different. It's cold. It's just, this is a big funny joke.
Yeah.
Like, I don't take it serious at all.
Uh-huh.
I'm not like, okay, guys, watch out. Yeah. This is fun, though. Have you ever, did you go out dancing a lot growing up, or?
I did dance when I was in my teens, but that's about it.
Really? In your 20s, you never went?
No, I never went dancing.
Really?
Not my cup of tea, no. I used to enjoy it when I was younger, like I said, in my teens and stuff, but because it was a good way to get close to girls and get in the groove. But yeah, not now, not a big fan.
Really? Do you dance in your living room?
No, I don't
By
dance
yourself?
In my living room. I never dance.
Oh man, it's so much fun. I did it the other day in my
room. Yeah, you dance in your living room?
Oh, all the time by myself.
Really?
I did a concert by myself yesterday.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm, like air guitar and stuff? Or
no,
what?
This was a good, it was a Sade song. I love Sade.
Mm-hmm.
And I was singing it like there's people in my living room. I know I'm in my 20s doing this. Like, that's what you're supposed to do when you're 9. But I was practicing a song and they loved it. Everybody loved it.
Really? Oh, so there were people there
no,
when you were singing?
No, but the people that would have been there loved it.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
I see the way you think. Okay.
Mm. Now, do you know that song? It's Is It a Crime?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. She's got a new album now.
Oh, she does.
Yeah.
Go check out
Sade. Did you listen to it?
Sade, yes. Soldier Love.
Really?
I have it on my computer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you want
to
play
it. So it's good, huh?
Oh, it's so good.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, she hasn't come out with an album in years.
10 years, but it's a masterpiece.
Just 10 years?
Well,
seems
I think it's
like
been about,
longer than
I think
that.
10 years. I think what's good to learn about that is people can churn out a bunch of crap that you forget.
Mm-hmm.
But Sade takes her time, and her music's timeless.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
Yeah.
It's just timeless.
Yeah.
I go back and listen to all of her tracks.
Very, very unique style.
It's unique. She's just such an artist, and I think there's a lot of people trying to be artists that don't cut it, but they're all you constantly see their crap.
Right.
But
yeah.
I'd rather wait 10 years and have something be you're so proud of. People love it.
Yeah.
There's a great shared experience.
Yeah.
I think it's so remarkable.
Yeah, I know, because, some people put out albums that the whole thing is crap. I mean, there's not even one good song there.
I know.
And you wonder, why did they even waste their time? I mean, obviously, you know, especially people that had big hits, you know, long time ago and stuff. And then they come back, they try to repeat that success, but they just write very mediocre music.
Yeah. I mean, when you look back at your life, and you look at the legacy and the things that you left behind and what really matters, and you look at your art, I mean, what are you really going to... Oh, well, I got those things pumped out and made a little cash off of it. Does that really matter, or do you want to think about, wow, look at this awesome expression that was... Yeah. Shared. I mean, oh, Sade. I mean, there's just something that melts you.
Yeah.
My friend was like, when you say your name, you gotta go Sade. You can't just be like Sade. It's gotta be Sade.
Yeah, it's very sultry, very making love type of music.
Yeah, she's got a lot of heart, a lot of soul, a lot of soul.
Yeah.
Ooh, very great voice. Very great voice. And yeah. I was singing it yesterday. I was so into it. Do you know the song?
Okay. Okay. We get it. We get it.
I love it. Oh, that's the sax.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Sade. So I got some.
I used to sing in my living room when I had a karaoke machine.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I would get down, you know, make it real loud and stuff, and
that's good.
It was a blast.
What,
yeah.
What would you sing?
Because I love to sing. Now I don't sing much anymore.
What did you sing?
A lot of different things. You know, I mean, you know, George Michael, like I told
love
you.
George
you know,
Michael.
Neil Diamond.
What's one of your favorite George Michael songs?
Careless Whisper.
Love that one.
You know, Fast Love. Uh-huh. I like that song. And I don't know. A lot of songs are cool.
See, I thought we were going to throw down at you. I thought we were going to sing karaoke at your birthday.
I know. We should
I was
have done
waiting
that.
For you to debut.
Well, maybe we'll make just a special karaoke party
yeah,
sometime.
Yeah, do that. I think you'll have fun. Know? I think people need to see you let loose.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely. I love singing.
I think it's good for the soul, man. I think it's really good for the soul. Keep singing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told a good friend of mine, he's a really great guy, and he's just kind of been through so much, and he's working so hard, and then he took on another job or another responsibility at his job, and meanwhile, none of this is his dream.
Uh-huh.
He's not doing anything about his dreams. Or not that he's not doing anything. It's just that, and I could see, he even told me, he's like, man, I'm hanging on by a thread. And I told him, I said, you know what? Fight for your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Fight for your soul. Like, get rid of everything. If you're dying inside, sell the house, sell the car, get rid of everything.
Yeah, and how would that help?
Well, if you're working so hard to maintain things, and inside you're dying, what's the fucking point?
Right. So you're saying to slow down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying you have to be that extreme, but if you do need to be that extreme, do it, because that's how important it is.
Right.
Like, fight for your soul. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Because I think what you see in LA, people come here and they've been given dreams. They've got these dreams. And then it's about they give up their soul to get the dream, and then they've got this thing, or they've got some success, and they're just a shadow of who they were. Whereas the whole idea, what's best, is that you can not sacrifice your soul and then at some point really arrive at those dreams, you know? But I think that there's this constant temptation of, you know, give up who you are, give up everything to get your dream accomplished, and then, or you never reach your dream because you're going after something else.
Right.
And people just like, fight for your soul. That's all that matters, is fight for your soul.
Fight for your soul.
Fight for your soul.
Yeah. Sounds like a good title for a song.
There we go. We're going to have to write it, Sam. Fight for your soul.
Yeah.
Or however.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, after the party, I really realized, you know, that it's not about really how much you have. It's about people, you know.
Oh, it's so about people.
And it made me feel so good when so many people
really?
Came. Yeah, of course.
You're loved.
And
people love you.
Honor you on your birthday and stuff. It's a great feeling.
Did you feel
you know?
Great?
Yeah, I really did, because I normally don't have parties thrown for me.
Oh, man, do it again.
But let me tell you, it was so much work. I felt so bad for my wife and her sister and her niece.
Oh, really?
Because they really worked hard on this, you know, the whole
week.
They
did a great job, but it was your 50th.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a signature birthday.
Yeah, it is.
A signature birthday.
But you didn't have to do all this. You know, we could have gotten catering and that, but they made all the food themselves, everything, you know.
She loves you. She's a good woman, man.
Yeah.
I really love her, because you can tell she's just a sweetheart.
Yeah. I know everybody loves her. It's
she's just like a very life-giving.
Yeah.
And you could tell that she just wants to make sure that you're having a great time.
Yeah, yeah, always.
Oh, that's
always.
So sweet. No, it looked really great in here. I told her, I was like, you guys knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
But the reality is, it's your 50th, and you need to go out with a bang, not go out. Go with a bang at 50. No, just like, you know, live it up, have a great time, and enjoy life, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. But it makes you feel special, you know? I mean, on your birthday, you should feel special, you know? The attention should be all on you.
I love it. Now, you remember our guest that we had in, Tracy McDonald, the comedian. Become little buds, right?
She was really?
She was over last night.
Oh.
Cool girl. Well, she was talking last night. We were sharing, and she had all that money from Star Search, and
right, that she spent it all.
She said that it just didn't mean anything. She said, I had no friends, no family, and I was alone with all this money. She's like, and then when you do, all you're doing is stand up, or all you're doing is chasing your dream, and you're not building relationships.
Uh-huh.
And you get there, or if you don't get there, then you're devastated and you have no one there. Or you get there and you make it, yeah, and there's no one there.
I know. People are funny. It's like, you celebrate something, you need people around you to share it with,
Pretty much every day is a celebration in my life. Close. That's a little Disney, but it's close. I mean, if we're going to have dinner, let's have... That's what we said last night. We're like, yeah, it's just Monday, but... This is what Europeans do, right? They go over to each other's house weekly, or daily. They'll go over to each other's house, and somebody brings...
And you don't even call. You just drop
show up.
By. Yeah.
I love that. I think that's really living.
Yeah.
And I think it brings so much life and so much love, and you could tell when people have been nourished in those ways and when people haven't.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's very singular. You're living life on your
own. Yeah, our society is very individualistic here, mm-hmm, it causes a lot of loneliness for people.
That's actually true. I was thinking about what, the South, or where I'm from, Texas, is what's cool is there's a lot of community.
Mm-hmm.
However, sometimes the downside to that is that there's not a lot of individuality.
Right.
And if you're trying to be different, or if you're just not trying to be different, but you are different, or you're doing something different, sometimes that causes a feud because people are, that's different, or they don't like it, or it doesn't fit in.
Yeah.
Now, then you come to a place like LA, which you said, there's so much individuality, which is great because you can be expressive and creative and, find yourself, but then it lacks that community.
You don't
community,
have anybody
community.
To share it with.
Yeah, you have to really carve out the community.
Yeah. That's why it's important, to be surrounded by good people.
I know.
Really,
I got good friends, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we made
good
a little throwdown last night.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I made these awesome brownies.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How come you didn't bring any?
I should have. It was early. I had to run and get my car before I got towed.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, car parking spot. So, everybody, I lost my car keys yesterday. I looked in all my top 10 places that I would lose them. End up cleaning my whole house, looking for these damn things. Never showed up. People start asking me, well, do you have a computer chip in your car? And I'm like, no, I don't think so, because it's like a 99 or 2000. It's an older car.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody said, oh, you probably do. That's going to be like $1,100 to get your key replaced.
For a fucking key.
I know. I said, that's highway robbery. Anyway, turns out it was $21. I went to the Toyota dealership. Boom, done. Great. Question. Why and how are these car dealerships spinning the need to put computer chips in the ignition so that corresponding to your key, why are they doing that? And then you can't just go get keys made now.
Right.
You have to order keys, and they're highly expensive. And if you lose the master key, you're done. It's like $1,000 or more.
Well, it's anti-theft systems.
Really?
Like,
is it that anti-theft?
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's called highway robbery, man.
Why else would they do it? Oh, you think to charge
because,
you a lot of money?
Because you can't just go get it made. I mean, if it's for anti-theft, then that's great. But then when you need to replace your key, it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody lost a car key, you're going to charge them $1,100?
Yeah, that's fucking crazy,
That's a down payment on a car. Or that's, for something, that would be like the cost of my car.
Yeah. I know, it's crazy,
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah. But like I said to you before, I don't think your car has that chip.
No, it didn't, thank God.
Yeah,
but people
people
were telling me that 2000s and up did. It's a 2000, I think it's 2000.
Yeah.
But no, it's 2003.
Mm.
So just you guys make copies of your keys and keep them around your house, give them to your friends while you still have your master key.
But how can you make copies if you need the chip in there?
Oh, you can get copies from the dealership.
From the dealer.
And it's going to cost you a little more, but at least you can still get them without paying an arm and a leg. I mean, it's still going to cost you more than going to make it yourself.
Right.
But what happens is a lot of these keys are laser cut, so you can't take them.
Yeah.
And they have the computer thing in them. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, do it while you can, guys. Don't be a total forgetful person like me.
Yeah, don't.
Don't. Yeah, don't. No, you're right. But it turned out really great, and I had a great day. And
so how do you lose your keys? I mean, what was your house key on there too?
Mm-hmm,
and
everything was on there.
So when did you discover it?
The next day when I was looking for my keys to leave.
Really?
I was getting up. I think it was around 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, hey, I can't find my keys. Well, then I looked at all my normal places, couldn't find it. Woke up my roommate. Hey, can you help me look? I was like, have you seen my keys? So she gets up and helps me look. My other roommate, have you seen them? And this is what I'm trying to text you and everything. And I mean, I looked for hours.
Really?
Yeah, because I had to move my car by 10 o'clock. I still didn't find them.
Really?
So I got
a ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a ticket.
Yeah. Another one.
No, I have no tickets right now. Other than the one I just got. Yeah. All my tickets are paid off.
Really?
Yeah, so I'll be paying this one off right away. Good. Yeah,
good.
That's another thing,
guys. You said you had some, right?
Well, that was a while ago. Remember, yeah. I told you I had like all these tickets and they kind of got out of control and then they're hard to take care of.
Yeah.
So, no, but I don't have any tickets now other than the one I just got yesterday.
Cool.
So I'll be paying that thing right away.
And how much is that?
I don't know. I think
it's like
30.
Is that for street cleaning?
Yeah,
or
I think it's like 30 something bucks.
Really?
Wow. Maybe 40 bucks. I'm not sure. We'll find out when I write.
See, it sucks living in Hollywood, man. There's never any parking, you know?
I know.
When you go to Santa Monica, Brentwood, same thing.
Yeah, I know, but...
Because these are older buildings that don't have parking, garages in them. So everybody has to park on the street.
And you're fighting for a spot. I mean, if I come home, I know, because I live right next to this strip of restaurants and bars and stuff and grocery stores and things. So when I come home, let's say prime time around anywhere from 7 to like 10, in that time frame, or 9:30, I can drive around for 20, 30 minutes looking for parking.
Wow.
Right by my house.
That sucks, man.
But at the same time, you kind of get used to it, and you're like, well, we're all fighting for a spot, but it's just still great where I live.
Oh, yeah.
So great. I live in such a great place.
So it's sacrifice that's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I literally live in a place where I go outside my house, and I can start running up into the hills, because I pretty much live Hollywood Hills, you know? Mm-hmm. Not like up in the hills, but at the foothills. So
right.
I want to go on a hike. I just walk outside and go to the top.
Yeah.
I live by the Hollywood sign. So we get a lot of tourists and everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, not right next to it, but in the visual.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. It's really fun, and then I can walk to coffee shops and restaurants and the grocery store. Although the grocery store is really expensive where
I live.
You
don't have to drive anywhere.
Yeah, but it used to be called the Mayfair Market, and now it's been bought by Gelson's. But it's like the celebrity grocery store.
Yeah.
So you never want to go without makeup on. We'll be like throwing makeup on just to go pick up some eggs because we've seen the lead singer from Maroon 5, Adam Levine there. A lot of different artists and things like that. So it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. But you just get to throw makeup on.
It is cool.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a short break. Mother Love should be here at 10. And I hope today she's going to make it. So stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio. Your favorite talk station. Talk station.
Oh, proliferates the internet. Two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Kara in the morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Are we really going to save the world one day?
Every day, my friend.
Yeah?
Put the love out there.
With the radio show, huh?
Yeah, or just loving people. Put love out there. So I got good news.
Yes?
You guys can go to rooftopcomedy.com/Kara Kimbrough.
Oh.
And I've got some of my comedy that just got accepted up on there. So I'm
really?
Excited. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool because it's a great website that features professional comics, and it's kind of cool to be on the site and get a feature work, and bookers go there and stuff, so it's really cool.
So is that like a video of you or what?
Yeah, they're short comedy clips. They said like the shorter the better, so they're all just like around 30 seconds to a minute
right.
long.
What's the website called again?
Rooftop Comedy, R-O-O-F-T-O-P .com/my name, K-A-R-A, Kara Kimbrough, K-I-M.
That's cool.
B-R-O-U-G-H.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll play some of this now.
They're impressions, so the impressions are cool. I mean, you can try it, but they're
is
really
it funny?
Well, yeah, they're funny, but they're really great visually because I'm impersonating pop stars.
Oh, I see. Okay, rooftop
yeah.
comedy.
Yeah, so it's very physical comedy, so it may not translate just audio, but you can try it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you which ones to do.
I'll do that. Let's see. Kara Kimbrough. And let's see if we can find something here. From Kara, who claims she's funny, so we're going to be the judge.
Well, you can't judge it audibly. You've got to watch it.
Okay. What
Which
is
ones?
It? The white pop stars can't sing, or breathing is the new singing?
Do white pop stars can't sing?
Okay, here we go, Kara Kimbrough.
Bro.
Bro.
Sure, white pop stars, they don't really sing, okay? They just breathe. I'm a little white pop star, and I'm so shy. That's your first white poster, right?
Okay.
Jessica Simpson, here we go, ready? She goes, nothing but a t-shirt. I'm never been more beautiful, baby, as I don't know. Now that I'm with you.
You're shaking your head and your hair. You're right, it is a visual. That's pretty cool.
It's funny. You like it?
Yeah.
There you go. Go
it's
check it out, guys.
It's pretty cool. I never saw you on stage before. It's pretty cool.
There's more clips that are coming, but they'll take time to get approved. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just did it. So I'm excited about it. You guys can check it out.
Yeah. There's a picture of you here with something in your mouth. What
it's
is
gum.
It? Oh, it's gum?
Yeah.
Oh, you're holding like a piece of gum in mm-hmm. your mouth. Mm-hmm. I see. Okay.
Yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Thank you. Yeah, y'all check it out. They're impersonations, but we're putting up more clips. It just takes time for it to upload and get approved and stuff. So.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have some stuff on my mother coming out.
You should put it on YouTube as well. Do you have it on YouTube?
I have it on my MySpace page. I have it on Vimeo.
Nobody goes there anymore to MySpace.
Yeah, but actually, I think they do more for music and comedy. They do.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think people do it so much as I don't think it's as much for personal use as people still do it to feature their work. I have it on Vimeo, which is an artist-based. Have you heard of Vimeo?
Mm-hmm.
It's a really great artist-based website. There's a lot of great cool...
All these websites, they have to have a short name, so they come up with these weird names and words. Did you notice that?
Vimeo?
I mean, there's like, you know, everybody tries to be Google and Yahoo, you know, and they come up with all these names that mean nothing.
Vimeo?
Yeah, Vimeo. What the hell is that?
I don't know. It's a cool
it's
site, though.
It's even a terrible name.
It's a really cool site, though.
Yeah.
But I have some of my mom's stuff on Vimeo, and I'm just waiting for it to get updated on...
What do you mean, your mom's stuff?
Well, I do stuff on my mom. My mom's been married 6 times.
Right.
She's... You know, the tagline says, you know, a cougar plus pills plus bipolar equals crazy mom.
Yeah.
You know, and her name's Lorraine. I mean, that name just sounds deranged, doesn't it? Lorraine. This is Lorraine, okay? This is your mother, okay? She'd always tell me she's my mother.
Yeah.
This is your mother, Kara, okay? I gave birth to you, right? Like, this is what she'd say.
Mm-hmm.
She'd be like, I gave birth to you.
Right.
Did your mom ever tell
you... She has to remind herself.
Yeah. Did your mom ever tell you stuff like... My mom did this shit all the time. Did your mom ever tell you, like, I brought your ass into this world. I could take your ass out.
No.
My mom said
my
that
mom
all the time.
That.
She's like,
yeah.
I brought you into this world, Kara. I could take your ass out. And I'm like, that's murder. You can't.
Yeah.
Or if you do, it's jail. But she would say it real. Like, I brought you into this world. I could take you out.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, that's not how it works. You don't get to do a return system once you have kids. You don't get to exchange your...
No money back guarantee?
No money back guarantee. It doesn't work that way. But she would tell me that growing up. She would tell all of us that, like, mm-hmm. but it was funny. I mean, even as a kid, we knew she was crazy, so we would just laugh.
Wow, that's like, got to be weird.
It is weird.
Like that.
She got out of, like, the crazy bin one time. Or not the crazy bin, but she... You know, she went to, like, these like, little... It's you know how nowadays in Hollywood people go off to rehab centers and things like that, but they're kind of like resorts.
Yeah.
Well, I think my mom loved being sick, and I think she loved being medicated, and I think she would like check herself into insane asylums.
Really?
Not just insane asylums.
What, you
but,
wanted the attention, you think, or something?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Attention, and she needed a lot of help. But it was funny. I think growing up, she would go off to like these resort. It seemed like resort like. Kind of mental health stays, right? Mm-hmm. And she'd come back. So she came back one time after she'd been gone, like, I guess a month or two. And I remember I had just learned the song Chaka Khan.
Mm-hmm. Chaka Khan?
Yeah.
Chaka Khan?
Yeah.
Nobody can say the word without singing it that way. Yeah. You know, she was on Tony's show the
other
day.
Yes, yes.
And everybody said, you know, you can't just say Chaka Khan. You have to say Chaka Khan.
Yeah, you can't. You can't. Well, I just learned the song, and my mom just got out of this crazy, like, mental health stay place. Uh-huh. And I was around her, and I'd be like, Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan, let me tell you what I want to do. And she would turn around and look at me. She goes, Kara, quit it. And I remember, like, why is she telling? I remember thinking at a young age, like, why is she telling me to quit singing?
Yeah.
So then I did it on purpose to see her twitch. I'd be like, Chaka Khan. She'd be like, Kara. And she would just twitch when I sang that song.
Really? You made her crazy.
She's crazy, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I love her, but she's nuts. What are you going to do? Some people are nuts, you know?
When was the last time you saw her?
That was my sister's funeral, which was about, I want to say 4 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, or four or five years ago. Oh.
But you do talk on the phone sometimes.
Yeah.
Right?
But she doesn't know how I'm on a radio show or anything.
Really?
No.
So she doesn't know much about your life.
No, she does. She knows some highlights enough to make her feel proud. But yeah, I don't like let her in.
Yeah.
You can't.
But you don't feel like you miss her or anything? Or?
No, I don't. I mean, it's not a cold thing. It's just, you know,
there was never a connection there.
I mean, when I was five, there was. But when I moved away, I mean, it stopped. Like, so I think once kind of high school hit, I mean, it's just like done. So, but you know, I don't hate her. I love her. We just don't have that kind of connection. And I keep in touch with her. I want to know she's doing good and I pray for her. I love her, you know.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? I mean, some people are very destructive and toxic. And it doesn't mean that they're bad people, but you have to know how to help people. And there's some kind of darkness and there's some kind of pain out there that only God can reach. And you can't get tangled up trying to save them. Like C.S. Lewis has a great quote from C.S. Lewis. And it says, should we go mad trying to save the madmen? Mm. And I think insanity, it's like people can bring you into their insanity and you have to go, okay, wait a minute, this is above my pay grade.
Yeah.
It's like with my mom, it's just above my pay grade. Like I love her, I love her from a distance and I call her and I pray for her and if I feel like she's coherent, we'll have a little bit of a conversation, but if she's not, I don't try to like get up in it and understand it.
Hmm.
You know, do you have any crazy in your family?
That's strange. No, I really don't.
Good
for
you.
I mean, yeah, we're pretty normal.
Yeah. I think I got the good crazy side of my mom though, because she's just fun, and even though she's nuts, I mean, there's a fun side to her. She loves dancing and singing. I mean, when I saw her, I guess about 8 years ago, we actually went karaokeing.
Really?
And my mom got on stage, and at the time she was married to this pretty cool guy. I didn't know how she landed him. And he talked like this. He's from North Carolina, so he talked like this. So my mom got on stage, and she was singing Simply Red. You know the song, Holding Back the Years.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's on stage and he goes, your mama can do really good when she don't forget the words. And she gets up there and she's singing In and Out. And she's like, Holding Back the Years. Dun, dun, how did I? And she goes in the audience and grabs this guy's beer.
Really?
In the middle of nowhere in West Virginia. She grabs this guy's beer, goes back on stage.
Drinking.
She just did it for stage effect.
Yeah.
And she went in and out of singing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was really funny. So I like that side of her.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like it.
That's good. What about her family? Are you in touch with any of her family?
No.
Like siblings?
A couple of them. One of them found me on like Facebook or something. And I said, okay, well, this is interesting.
Yeah.
I had a crazy ex-stepmom find me on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, come on, man. You cheated on my dad.
Yeah.
You left him for another guy. And we're supposed to be Facebook friends. Like, I don't hate her.
Right.
But I just go, this. And I tried. I actually did accept her friendship. But then when I post something or, you know, do a status update, she would chime in with a comment. Like, not that it was rude. She wasn't being mean, but I was like, I'm just not comfortable with this.
Yeah.
And I think what's weird about people is when they try to rewrite history and act like things never happened. That's something that's one of the biggest things that bothers me.
Yeah.
I believe in moving on and letting go of pain or dealing with it and then letting go if you can, because it can rob your future.
Right.
But at the same time, you can't ignore things that have happened and say they didn't.
Right.
And that bothers me. I noticed a lot of adults do that. When I was growing up, and still am I, like, as an adult now, I notice, like, older people do that. They just like, well, we did the best we could, and we were always there for you, and we remember the times that we were there. It's just like a real amnesia type effect.
Yeah.
They just think that they were so great. It's weird.
Well, maybe they feel they were good, you know, at the time. You know, people do, you know, their best, I think, for the most part.
Well, you know, and
with kids, and some people are not great with kids.
I kind of get it. Like, I get that. Motivation, and I don't think you should be punishing people for past mistakes.
Right.
But there's just weird shit that happened that you don't go back and you don't try to act like, you know, you're gonna Facebook friend me. This woman.
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
She.
It's pretty weird.
Was married to my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And had an affair with my stepmom worked as a bus driver for mm-hmm. school. She worked
right.
at the bus barn. Well, her and the bus mechanic had a thing. And she was hanging out with him while she was married to my dad. And she went and got a hummingbird tattoo on her ass.
Really?
A hummingbird tattoo, because she loved hummingbirds. How uh-huh. lame is that?
Yeah.
She got a hummingbird tattoo on her ass, and this guy was with her. And then my dad's upset, and she's telling me, well, I don't know why he's upset, because, you know, so-and-so was just there because to make sure nobody did anything to me because I was drunk. Like, that's crazy. Like, justified.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, a lot of people get tattoos when they're drunk, and then they regret it later.
I think she loved it. I just don't know if she's going to love it when she's 80, and that
yeah.
hummingbird looks like a, you know, a turtle or a troll or something. You know, it, like, drops a bit.
Yeah.
Looks like a ladybug. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're like, it used to be a hummingbird.
It's amazing how some people, you know, get tattoos, and then they wish they hadn't. You know, like I heard an interview with this girl that Jesse James was banging
uh-huh.
and she's full of tattoos, and they asked her about it. She says, no, I wish I hadn't gotten. And she's got a lot of them. She's got some on her
Which
face.
Which ones did she wish she didn't have?
That's the one with the swastikas and shit, you know.
Really? And
yeah.
she said she wished she didn't get all of them, or the ones she's some on
any
her face?
Of them. Any of them.
She
but since she has them now, she just continues because she figures, you know, she's gone too far anyway.
Oh, really?
With all these tattoos. So just... Yeah.
Well, maybe she can get, like, some of them removed.
It's very painful from what I understand.
Oh, really?
And it takes a while, yeah. It's not that easy, you know?
Wow.
That's why I say, you know, I don't like tattoos, because you can't change your mind.
I say get a sticker.
Yeah.
Just get a sticker, you know, and then when you're tired of it, get a new sticker.
Yeah.
Or a different sticker. Right?
Yeah.
Or a henna or something like that goes away.
I don't know. I just... I don't know. I guess I'm old-fashioned that way.
So you don't have any on you?
No, not at all.
And you're not attracted to girls with tattoos?
No, never been with a girl with tattoos. I see tattoo and they lose a couple points in my book.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you?
Not that they give a shit, but I'm just telling you.
That's funny.
Yeah.
What about women with piercings?
That I don't like either.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you not like it?
Because it's, I don't know, it looks weird to me.
Just looks weird.
Yeah. It looks weird. Plus, I have an issue with people piercing their body.
Why?
Because I don't think you were meant to do these things, you know?
Mm.
I mean, obviously, you know, you get infections with piercing and that kind of thing, you know? But when I see my son, he's 16, 17 years old, and he's got gauges in his ears.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. That looks pretty awful.
Oh, really? What did you, do you tell him that?
Yeah, he knows that, but he keeps wearing them anyway.
And now if he takes them out, they're going to be like loop-de-loop, right?
Yeah.
So in other cultures, women go through... I mean, in every culture, and I watched a thing on this, and it was weird, but it made sense how women go to such extreme measures for beauty.
Right.
And how certain tribes and things like that, they'll put rings around their neck.
Right, to make their neck longer and
neck
stuff.
Neck longer,
yeah.
And they'll actually... be so abnormally long. I didn't know you could do that to a neck. And I looked at it like, that is so painful.
Yeah.
But this is what they're used to doing. And it's something like it weighs down on your shoulders. It's like 20 pounds. I mean,
right.
When I wear too many sports bras, I get headaches because of the weight.
Yeah.
And
uh-huh.
I can't imagine what these women go through. And then I think with what are the women that dress up in the Asian culture that are like, you know,
geishas,
yeah. Right. So they would have to sleep with the, you know, their hair and everything. They just had like this little kind of peak that was made out of wood that supported their neck, and that they would just sleep on this little tee.
Right.
And that's how they'd have to sleep.
Really.
And I'm like, this shit sucks. But then these women that put in, you know, their lips and they have discs in them and things like
that.
Yeah. So you're looking at all this stuff and people binding their feet to be small.
Right.
Did you, Sarah said this is so gross, but did you hear this? I don't know if it's true.
Like Chinese women, they bind their feet.
Men want to have sex with the foot?
The foot? No,
yeah,
I never heard that before.
The feet become mingled and curl in.
Really?
And they want to have sex with the foot. Have you heard that?
No, that I didn't hear.
I was like, is that true, Sarah?
They used to do it a lot more than at the time where they bind their feet and shit, but that was to make them look pretty.
That's what I thought. Sarah's like, No, they want to do it with the foot.
Really?
I said, no, I'm going to Google it.
That's
weird. But my point is then I started thinking about our culture and how other people look at our culture. Because, you know, we're like, it's normal. It's whatever. It's
right.
normal. But women go to a doctor. They get put under. Mm-hmm. Their body gets opened up. And these big ball of balloons get put inside their body underneath their muscles.
Uh-huh.
And then they have to be wrapped in bandages.
Uh-huh.
And then they where the incision was, they drain liquid of any excess swelling.
Uh-huh.
And they have to be... you know, post-surgery, it's like a couple weeks before they're like not in that much pain.
Right.
And then it takes a while for the breasts to kind of look a little more real-like, depending on the kind that they got. And to think that women do stuff like that, or they get stuff injected in their lips to look bigger, or facelifts, your face really gets peeled off and then put back on.
Right, exactly.
I mean,
they lift it off.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
That we, I mean...
The shit that people go through to
So I kind of was looking at it like, well, I mean, I'm looking at their cultures going, that is crazy screwed up. And then I thought, well, look at us. I mean, it's really this. I mean, people get ass implants and calf implants.
Yeah.
I saw a guy on the show.
Vaginal rejuvenation.
Yeah, there you go. A V job. People going in and getting their stuff tightened up.
Yeah. Their assholes bleached. Have you heard of that before?
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's who wants to be down there taking photos anyway?
Yeah, I guess the porn stars and shit would probably go through that, you know. I can't imagine a normal person going through that.
You know what? If I was with somebody and they had a white looking, you know, butthole, I'd be like, I'm not into this. There's something it's been photographed a little too many times.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know if it'd be white, it just wouldn't be brown, you know.
It's just thin skin, so there's like blood vessels and stuff that make it look like darker and purpley and stuff.
Whatever.
Purpley. What a word. Purpley. But my point is that it's natural. And I talked to a guy about that area, and I said, do you prefer it to be completely like shaven or, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he said, too much of anything down there makes me think that if they're too good at it. Like if it's too manicured down there, like...
Right.
It, you know, constantly a certain way, and there's no hair, or it's just very, very stenciled.
Right.
He's like, who's been seeing this?
Yeah.
Why is it on display? There's something about it that he says is unattractive because there's too much effort put into it. And have you heard about the latest that they're doing down there?
No.
It's called vajazzling.
Yeah.
Have you heard about vajazzling?
No,
like, have you heard of bedazzling?
Yes.
Bedazzling is when they used to take the beads and the rhinestones and the little diamonds, and you could bedazzle your phone or bedazzle some clothing, and it was kind of fun.
I see, okay.
Well, now they're calling it vajazzling because they're getting, they're putting these little gems and stones.
Like sequins and stuff?
Sequins on the girl's vagina.
Really?
Yeah, so where the pubic
like
hair would be.
Like permanently?
No, I don't think it's permanent. It can't be permanent because you're going to have regrowth and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, so all these like little gems and stuff, and they showed a picture of it. And I'm like, that's just screwed up, man. Like, it's cute, but it's like you're taking this like vanity thing too far.
Yeah.
When you've got gems in that area, and I think a guy would, other than maybe looking at it because you're curious, I don't think a guy is going to be into that.
Yeah. No, it's probably more in porn, you know, if anything.
Well, my roommate, Claire, I mean, she goes to, certain spa for spa treatments, and they called her up, and they're like, hey, we've got the newest thing, and you want us to sign you up for getting vajazzled.
Right.
She's like, no, I'm not going to let you vajazzle my vajazzle. You know, she's like, no.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, I think Mother Love is here, so we're going to take another short break. We'll be back right after this.
Music.
listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Karen, we have the great Mother Love in the studio.
She's rocking and rolling, everybody.
Live.
She walked in with a gold coat on, and inside the coat is leopard print. I'm just like, she's my hero.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to be your shero.
Oh, you be my shero.
I'll be your
girl,
shero. How
you
about
walked
that?
In rocking and rolling, looking
there you
hot.
Go.
My husband calls it my drag queen coat. I got drag queen clothes and drag queen furniture.
I love
that. I have Bobby Trendy do my living room when you guys come over.
Uh-huh.
It's in red and purple. I have this amazing purple couch and these two big red chairs that are whimsical. That when you sit in them,
uh-huh.
When you sit all the way back in them, your feet don't touch the floor.
Right.
And so they're very whimsical. And he goes, I know you are not buying that drag queen furniture. I was like, honey, the man is right here. If it's not drag queen furniture,
I love
this is before
it.
Bobby Trendy. Andy became like really famous and everything, I knew him when.
There you go.
See, I knew a lot of people when.
Bobby Trindy, where have we seen him?
I know Bobby Trindy, you knew him. He's famous for, see, I can do his voice very well. He's famous for, you know, being Anna Nicole Smith's God Rest Her Soul, Let's Have a Moment for Her Moment's Over. He was her assistant on her show, on the Anna Nicole Smith show.
Oh, yeah, I remember
Bobby,
that
Bobby,
one.
Bobby, honey, he was my Bobby Trindy first.
Oh, I see.
So I can't wait. I can't wait to see it.
Yes. Yeah.
See that. So this is so cool. So what's your living room look like? You said it's purple, red.
I have big red chairs, and I have this purple sofa with like the lavender. My girlfriend made me these handmade lavender pillows to go on, and I have it. It's all themed around this big, humongous, giant painting that a guy gave me off of his restaurant wall. Because people would have called me the voice, you know, ever since I've been in radio, because I could be anywhere, and people not recognize me until I open my mouth.
Yeah.
And so I was out there. He had this little fish place called Fish Mamas that had the best fish. They've since gone belly up. But he had this huge, the restaurant was big, about as half as big as the studio.
Got it.
He had this ginormous painting on the wall with these beautiful red and purple and green. And it's, wait till you see it. And so I went, oh my God, that would look like so amazing on the wall of my new house. It shouldn't be in this restaurant getting all this fish grease on it, right?
That's
and
hysterical.
So he's in the back cooking. He was like, oh my God, mother lover, it's in my restaurant, mother lover. I'm like, look, baby, don't have a heart attack. Calm yourself down. Stifle yourself.
And stifle yourself.
And he comes, that's one of my favorite lines. And
I got his cat steal it.
It's not mine. That comes from Archie Bunker and all in the family when he would say to Edith, stifle yourself.
Okay, I'm using that. Another one I just learned.
What?
Is that girls tossing me some shade.
Okay, oh, did
you? Tossed me some shade. I'm using that one.
They toss you some shade. You know what that means, don't you?
Attitude?
Toss you some shade.
No, what does it mean?
Well, I come from. See, you know, we got to help y'all.
Y'all, help out. Help us out, cause we're.
You know, when you try, like my son tells me, he's like, Mama, don't try to use slang because you don't, and don't sing the rap song. Because
you're using it the wrong way.
Because I didn't know. I'm singing, I got five on it. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. He's like, Mama, don't sing that. Do you know what you got five on? I'm like, no. He's like, you know what the song is talking about? I'm like, no. He goes, we got five on a bag.
Okay.
So we had to stop that.
Okay.
But anyway, so he comes out and he says to me, if you want that painting, you can have it.
Really?
You gotta come back and get it. Uh-huh. I bought a posse with me in case because people promise me stuff. You know, I'm a girl from the old school. When a man tell me, like, when you tell me something, don't worry, I don't worry.
Uh-huh.
That's it, going out the door.
Right.
I don't worry. That means you having it.
Right.
So he says, you come back and get it. I brought a posse. I bought my son, my husband. I bought his friend and his pickup El Camino truck. We put it on our back. We strapped it down. If you take the painting down, I got a big giant. They got holes all in the wall where they couldn't get it straight. So it's camouflaging.
Yeah.
And then I got this big purple couch and these two big red chairs and this big whimsical painting.
Oh, I bet it's so beautiful.
And it's my whimsical. I call it my whimsical room.
Uh-huh.
My husband calls it the drag queen room.
But drag queens, they're so much fun. Like, there's just a fun there. It's just such fantasy.
I was sharing this because people will say to me, are you Mother Love, the real Mother Love, Mother Love, Mother Love?
Right.
Like, is there a fake one running around?
Yeah.
And at one time, people are saying that because at one time, there was a fake Mother Love.
Really?
And the sad commentary. I don't know if this is sad or I take it to be I take it as a compliment because I feel
flattery,
like
they say
imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Okay, but they had a contest.
Oh, sure.
They had a Mother Love lookalike contest. And a drag queen won. A real woman didn't even win. I couldn't even win my own contest.
But you know what? I got to be honest with you. Those drag queens, they've gotten high tech on us.
Kevin.
Have you watched RuPaul's Drag Race?
Kind of.
I mean, it's not. Or forget that one. Mm. There's this one called something. I forgot. It's about transsexuals teaching women how to dress more womanly, and they've got. I mean, they look like women.
They. Uh huh.
Some of them have got it down where they're looking hot. I'm like, well.
I think
take
that's the
tip.
Only time that men should dress like women if you go paid drag queen. See, because I have a large gay following.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do when your panties are off, that's your personal business. I don't need to have that all up in my face. I don't need to see it. I get upset with these flaming guys that come out here and they want to be switching and walk. We don't walk like that. We don't talk like that. I'd rather see you be transgender and conduct yourself like a woman than come in here and you got a 5 o'clock shadow and you got an eyeshadow. It's not attractive. Come on, work.
That's funny. You know. Do it right or don't do it at all.
Oh, don't come half-stepping. You know, and it's already bad enough you want to look like a woman. And you don't have to have no menstrual period. You don't have to have cramps. Your breasts don't leak. Your body don't leak. You get to have all the pretty parts of a woman without all the ugly parts. And I just really think it's like really unfair.
I hear you, though. Yeah, like get it right or don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't half step. Look, I can't half step. And all our problems, you ever notice this? All women's problems start with men. Mental illness, menstruation, menopause.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm just saying. You don't never hear no man having no issue with, I got a womanly thing wrong with me. I got menopause.
Yeah.
I have menstruation. I have menses. I have mental illness.
Oh, my gosh. That's so freaking funny, man. That's so true.
I'm just, you know, I've been at it for a while.
Listen, she was saying something on the break, you guys. I'm sorry. I'll have to bring it back because you were talking about, like, don't nobody mess with you. You're from the hood. And you go, I'll cut.
Oh, because in this business, and, you know, and I've said a lot of controversial things. I've been trying to be more mindful and not be so acid-tongued because people have said, I'll cut them to the quick. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've said things that upset people. Get over it. You know, that's just my thing.
Figure it out. But
figure it out. Work on it. You know, shut it down. Don't come at me with it. And I've had several death threats.
Really?
And, oh, yeah.
That's what I said. I said, what? Wow. Mother love. You're going to kill, like, mother love.
Oh, I get this is my death threat. They go, I love you, mother love. I'm going to kill you at midnight. You roll up on me, I will cut you. I will cut you. I will cut you long, short, deep, wide, and often. So you can roll up on me if you want to. Look, my mother carried a loaded 38. You think I want Papa Cap or somebody? Please. And this is my mom I'm talking about. She carried a loaded 38 and her pocketbook would come outside when my mother shot the gun off in the house. When I was 17, I knew it was time to go.
Really?
She said, I want y'all to be quiet. Everybody be quiet. I needed some rest. And we went, hey, 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 hey. She came down. Didn't I tell y'all? Boom! I was like,
are you serious?
Oh, she is not playing.
Wow.
It's time to ride.
Where did you grow up? You said you grew up in
Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
I'm a Buckeye.
Okay, so Buckeye. So, but was it the hood? Super hood?
I grew up in the projects. Well, it wasn't this. When I grew up in the projects, it didn't have the negative connotation that it has now.
Right.
Because our projects were called the Carver Park Estates. Oh. So our projects had names. You know, and we lived in the Carver Park Estates. And we lived in a 4-bedroom apartment.
Uh-huh.
And when you walked inside of our apartment, you could not tell that we lived in the projects.
Uh-huh.
We had wall-to-wall carpeting. We had custom-made blinds. We had wall paneling on the wall. Mm-hmm. Custom paint jobs. Excuse me. My mother had the attention span of like a 17-year-old.
Okay.
And she would come in and go, okay, I'm sick of all this furniture and I hate the paint job. Everybody gonna paint. You mask off the wall. We gonna put stripes on here. We gonna put some diagonals. We gonna put mirrors up on the wall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We gonna tile these cement steps, you know.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And she'd have it done. My mother was a natural hustler. She didn't change jobs. She changed professions.
I gotcha.
So, and it was 6 kids and she was the unremarried widow of. You'd have thought, I said, I'm gonna stand up on the building with a sniper rifle and I'm just gonna pop people off. When I told her I got on public assistance. What? You got on welfare? I'm like, Mom, I've been a taxpayer all my life. I just needed for 3 months, you know.
She
went and told her, you know, that child, I went and got on the welfare. I'm just so embarrassed. I just don't know what to do. I was like, oh my God, shame me out of welfare.
Yeah. So what kind of childhood did you have? You said you had 6 siblings?
I had a traumatic childhood.
Call it what it is.
If I could have changed it, I would have, but I didn't have any choice in my, and most of, we don't have a choice in how
you're
we're raised.
You're in someone else's choices.
And once I was able to make the choices, my choice was to change and make my life better.
Mm-hmm.
My mother did the best she could with what she had to work with. And out of all the mothers in the projects that I grew up with, everybody came to my mother for advice, for medical advice, because my mother was a registered nurse. And that was one of her many professions. And people would come to her if there was an illness, if they needed something. You know, all of us had to learn first aid when we were like kids.
Yeah.
So we had to be able to take care of each other if there was a cut, a bruise, a burn. Right. And everybody in the neighborhood came to us.
Mm.
And so we were the nurturing family. So I come from a family of social workers, school teachers, psychologists, PhDs, psychiatrists, and all of them crazy.
Wow. I love it.
All crazy.
All
when I run out of material, I just get on the plane, go to Cleveland, sit amongst the crazy people.
Yeah.
I love it. That's hysterical.
Now we got a new generation of crazies coming up.
I hear ya.
I'm like, okay, and they're related to me.
Yeah. So you're saying that your childhood was it was all kinds of dysfunctional, but yet good stuff came out of it.
Good stuff came out of it. And when I say dysfunctional, well, see, back then we weren't dysfunctional. You know, we weren't. Yeah. We didn't use a term like dysfunctional. You know, your mama beat you behind when you got right. out of line. You know, my big concern was don't piss my mama off.
Okay.
Because my mother, she would like, you want me to take you down to Lulu Deal? Lulu Deal was a school for bad girls. And she
oh,
was
really?
Like, you going to do what I tell you or you going to do what them folks tell you? Now, what you want? Because
yeah.
see, and when you go, I'm sending all of y'all. And it's not just going to be one, all six of you going. Yeah. So my brothers and sisters were like, well, why don't you shut up? You know, why you got all with? Because my mother would say stuff to make you have to go toe-to-toe with it. Well, for me.
Yeah.
You know, she would say, like, I cut school once. Had never cut school. I'm a senior in high school, honor student, on the National Honor Society, the whole nine. Got the full ride to college, the whole nine.
Wow, nice.
So I cut school.
Uh-huh.
I know I'm graduating, you know.
Yeah, you're doing good.
My mother had never in my entire academic life ever once asked me, how was school today?
Really?
So she comes in, and I done cut school. I'm way on the other side of town. With doing stuff that now you would be up on charges with, like you just can't jump in a man's car with four of your girlfriends and tell him drive. That's called kidnapping.
Yeah. Drive.
Yeah, that's a federal law against that now. But you know, and you got a teenage guy and you got four teenage girls and he's like, ooh, hey, and you got TNA jiggling everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, yeah, I go. Yeah. And so, and it was bad because he was a Jehovah's Witness, so we corrupted him in the neighborhood like right off the rip.
Right off the rip.
We were like, oh, we got our ass set on you, buddy. And so because I could talk pretty, they were like, okay, you go out there and jump in the car and then we'll run in because you'll talk fast.
Right.
So my mother asked me one day, so how was school today? Anything coming out my mouth gonna be a lie. If I say school was fine, I'm lying because I wasn't in school that day.
Mm-hmm.
If I say I wasn't in school, I'm gonna get my head lopped off. So I just went, she like, get it out. How was it? It was either good or it was not good. I was like, how come you asked me today?
Yeah.
How school was?
Out of all days.
Out of all days. And so you never know. My mother used to say, I got eyes in the back of my head. I got six eyes up under my wig.
Oh, I love it.
And so she had friends everywhere. And I saw several of her friends, but I didn't think they saw me.
Right.
One of her friends was in a work at the fire department in a fire truck on a fire run, somebody's house burning to the ground, and he noticed me in the car. And he called my mom. He go, oh, yeah, that's her daughter right there. What's she doing way over here on this side of town? Girl, you know your daughter over here. I'm on a fire run, and you know your child over here look like she going to the bowling alley. And she would say stuff like this. If I was getting ready to tell her, she said, oh, I'm a lie and you're a pretty girl, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So you can't tell your mama, yeah, you're a lie. And yes, I am the pretty girl.
Oh, wow.
So my mother, I was sharing with
see,
my
see how you beat her at her own game.
That's, no, I didn't.
No.
Oh, no.
No, it doesn't work.
No, it didn't work. It didn't work. I left my mother when she, you know, she was always questioning her skills as a parent, I felt, because she would say, you think everything is funny. Everything is a joke to you. You don't take life serious. I don't know why you... I'm like, who's coming out of it alive? I ain't coming out of life alive. Well, I'm going to take it serious.
Mm-hmm.
It is a joke. It is funny. Uh-huh. And people that take it serious...
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I said to her one day, I got the ultimate conversation for your mama.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimate. When your, because, you know, my mother was like, what do you mean you're going to go on the radio? What do you mean you're going to do stand-up comedy? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. You got to get a college education. And you know, you got to make... I'm like, well, I'm making more money than everybody I know that got a college education.
There you go.
You know, so what? I mean, I am college educated. I went to college for 3.5 years because they said I was a menace to campus life. What? Because I wanted the dorm to be co-ed and I wanted a union built, student union built on our side of the campus.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted them to change their curfew hours. And okay, so I started a food fight. But I didn't start the food fight. All I did was said, I'm tired of eating this nasty food. And I slammed my food tray down. And some food went up in the air and it hit the guy in the back. And then he threw some food at the other guy. And it was a whole big food fight in the union. And then we got a student union. So they said I was a minister of campus life. And they cut out one of my scholarships. So I had to go to work to make up for it.
Got it.
But while I'm working, I'm making more money working at the phone company than everybody else is making. Mm. So I'm like, okay, well, I can do this. Then my husband knocked me up. So now I got to, you know, now I'm pregnant. I'm like, okay, I'm 24. I think I better have a baby now because I ain't going to have no baby at 30 years old. If I don't do it now, that's going to be it. I don't want to be a spinster.
Right.
So I have one son and we have four grandchildren. And
wonderful.
So we're rocking and rolling through life.
Wow, so one kid was it for you?
That was it. I just wanted to see if my body worked. It did.
You're done.
And then, but well, I wanted to have more children. I don't have many regrets in life, but mm-hmm. one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't finish college mm-hmm. and only had like a half a year to go,
right.
and I didn't have more children.
Right.
And by
mm-hmm.
the time I felt confident in being a parent, because anybody who's a parent, you guys got kids?
Mm-hmm. I do.
You know that is the most difficult, thankless. Your kids just don't, they think you just drink ink and chew paper and just roll out $100 bills out your butt.
Yeah.
They just think money, you just got an endless supply and I don't care. Our son will be 33 years old in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still, Mama, can you give me $100? Mama, you know, I got all these kids. They need shoes. They need clothes. Can you get them uniforms? We need so-and-so. I said, I told you.
Uh-huh.
I had one son. He had two working parents. All of his needs were met. And he says to us the other day, I said, son, did you have a fun childhood? He said, Mama, I just can't thank you and my dad enough for such a beautiful childhood. I never wanted for anything. Mm-hmm. I got to do what I wanted to do. I got to travel. And I think you guys set me up. Y'all set me up. Because now I got four babies and I can't even think straight anymore.
Yeah.
Welcome to adulthood.
Yeah.
So he kind of maybe thought, oh, well, based on my childhood, this is how it's going to
roll. It's going to be a piece of cake.
Yeah.
It's
going to
be gravy. I'm going to have money all the time. My mom and dad always. We got one child.
It's different.
You got four.
Man.
And there are gaps in between them. So it's like he has an 8-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a set of twins that'll be a year old on Saturday.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's almost like having three sets of only children.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and he's got a son, a daughter, and then a son and a daughter that are the twins.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, I'm like, you never going to have money.
That'll make him appreciate his own childhood.
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
Now, do you love being a grandparent?
If I could have had grandchildren before I had a son, oh my God, I am like, we are the worst grandparents like ever.
Really?
Why?
We have been rendered useless. When your child has to sit you down and say, Mom, Dad, you guys travel all the time. You travel the world. You cannot ship them, send them, bring them something every time you come. There's too much.
Mm.
And do you understand? And we looking at him and we go, yeah, we understand. So you're going to stop doing? No, we're not.
You that's your job.
That's my job.
Right.
They don't buy their kids Christmas stuff for Christmas because they know I start shopping like in April for Christmas.
So yeah, but you know what? Grandparents get to do the fun stuff.
We get to do the fun stuff.
Yeah, and they go home. You don't have to deal with it.
Oh, this is my favorite thing when I'm on the road and I'm gone for a while. I call them up. I don't say hello, how y'all doing? Dog kiss my foot. Nut. Bring the children. Click.
Yeah.
So
that's all
cute.
I say.
Yeah.
You know, and then they bring the kids down and I go, pick the children up, or we're bringing the kids home, and we brat them up and send them home.
There you go.
You know, when they start getting on your nerves, send them back.
You know, which is a beautiful thing because, first of all, I'm not letting a child get on my nerve and take me down.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going out like that. Oh, I wear them kids. I will not be taken down by an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old. And when they leave, I'd be so tired. I'd be like, oh my God, they asked 950 million questions. They want everything. And we have grandparents, you know, because nowadays you're not called grandma.
Oh, what do you
grandpa.
Call?
Most grandmas that I know, they have a grandma name. I'm Awa. One of my girlfriends, she's Bibu. One of them is Honey.
Uh-huh.
One of them is Gammy. You know, so we're not.
That's so cute. So what's yours?
Mine is Awa.
Awa, what is it? Is it?
Awa is it's even an African language called Wolof. It means the first woman of the earth.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And they crack me up, and this is what I won't answer them, so they'll do this. Awa. 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 And that just cracks me up.
Oh,
and they'll do it real loud.
Though.
They don't care where they are. And this is in a movie theater because we'll check into the movies. Awa, I have to doo-doo now. Okay, could you like hold that down and use your indoor voice? Awa, I got to pee-pee. Awa, I'm sleepy. Awa, this is... But we are in the movie theater. Indoor voice. Ain't no little kids can't whisper. Awa, I got to doo-doo.
That's so cute, though.
Yeah. We're talking to Mother Love, of course, and she's got a new show with the station, and this is your second week.
Yeah.
It's called The Mother Love Show, and you can listen to it every day from 2 to 4, weekdays, of course. And yesterday you were talking about having been morbidly obese.
Yes.
In your life.
Yes.
How did you get to that point?
Most of it was hereditary and environmental because everybody in my family is overweight. Everybody. And I was the runt of the litter. And watching them all develop diabetes and the complications from diabetes. And food is our familiar. You know, we got up and ate breakfast, you know, would eat these just ginormous breakfasts. My father made. He made his own sausages and he made his own donuts. I swear Krispy Kreme stole his recipe.
Really?
Them taste just like my daddy's donuts. Mm. The whole glaze and everything. And he would get up and make donuts in the morning. And we would have donuts and bacon and eggs and sausage and fried potatoes and onions and salmon croquettes.
Wow, that's a lot.
And then you pass out at school. You can't even breathe. And in the wintertime, they put all these clothes on you. And I think, I know for me, I gained a lot, started gaining weight when I was like 15 and 16 because I got tired of being ridiculed for being so bony. I got tired of the boys talking about me and embarrassing me. I was so thin. And in the wintertime in Ohio, the wind would blow so hard. Mm-hmm. We called it the hawk. And the hawk would just pick me up. And we wore dresses because girls weren't allowed to wear slacks. And the wind would just take me up into a tree. And my sister would be like, Mama, I'm not getting out of the tree. The boy's looking at her panties again. So my mother would sew rocks in my coat pocket to keep me anchored on the ground.
Really?
Wow.
And I got tired of being bowled over and beat up on and ridiculed by my siblings. Like I did a show last week about, you know, we always talk about how our parents will traumatize. Look, when you got brothers and sisters, they will jack you up.
Yeah.
If you know,
they really screw you up.
They can really screw you up. My brothers
When I see the sibling rivalry, you know, between the kids and stuff, and my daughter is older than my son. And, you know, constantly, you know, you're a piece of shit, you're this, you're that, you're that, and you're a loser, you can't do that. And I'm like, how can you possibly emerge as a confident person when somebody's telling you this shit all the time, you know?
And you have to be, and that's where I got my confidence from, because it was battling my brothers and sisters. Even though I'm the second oldest, you know, I got my older sister who's beating up on me. I mean, I'm talking about beating up on me like I was her whipping girl.
Really?
And then my brothers were bigger than I am, you know, and so they're bowling over me and they're knocking me around, you know, and the neighbors, and I remember one of my friends when I was a teenager had jumped on my little sister and my older sister was too big to beat her up, and she and I were the same age, and my sister said to me, either you go out there and you kick her behind or I'm gonna kick yours. So I went out there and just went to wailing on my girlfriend. I'm crying all the time. I'm sorry, I gotta kick your behind, but my sister. And she was like, girl, I understand, because your sister will beat both of our behind. And it was just very traumatizing for me, you know. And she was, and I'm not a fighter. You know, I'm an instigator. I can get the fight going. Yeah. I'll be the one, girl, you know, Kira, let me tell you what Sam said about you, girl. You shouldn't take that. You need to open up a can on him. You need to check that. And they'd be like, girl, and I get a whole fight started and get to be the instigator, but I'm not going to fight.
Yeah.
But with my sisters and brothers, I had to become a fighter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I knew that's not what I wanted to do. I didn't want anybody hitting on me, and I didn't want to hit on anybody else.
Right, right.
You know, so I learned to cut him with the tongue.
So now, at what age did you decide you're going to move out of Ohio, and where did you move to?
I didn't move out of Ohio until I was sent for to come to California.
Oh, really?
Yes. I moved out of Cleveland and moved to Columbus when I went to college.
I
went to the Ohio State University,
right,
where I met my husband. And I stayed there for 8 years.
Uh-huh.
And then I moved back to Cleveland for 10 years to regroup. And then from Cleveland, I got the opportunity to, you never make it in your hometown doing anything, and, you know, not in the entertainment industry. And I was driving a school bus, and my mother and I went to the bridal fair, because after 13 years, my husband woke up one day and said, I want to marry you. I was like, call my mom and tell her that, because I knew he wasn't going to lie to my mother, because I was always like, when you going to marry me? When you going to put a ring on my finger? When I was pregnant, he said, hold that thought. He left. He came back. He put a gold band on my finger. I was like, what is that? He said, you want a ring on your finger. I was like, you know what? so shut up. You know what I mean. And if I'm good enough to have your baby, I'm good enough to carry your name. He said, you can use my name. He bought a dog. The dog had his last name before I did. That's one reason I don't like varmints. And so we go to the bridal fair, and I'm, you know, the guy was up on stage. He was like sweating bullets, and he was just like really nervous. It's 5,000 single women or divorced women or women wanting to get married, and we like, okay, come on, can you get with the program? Yeah. We want to see some Brad stuff. And he is up on the stage, and he was just having a hard time. My mother, God rest her soul, my mother started heckling him. And we were sitting very close to the stage, and she said, and she's heckling him with me. She goes, he ain't funny. You funnier than him when you get on period day. He ain't funny. You funnier than him when you got crying. I'm like, mother, could you like hold that? And everybody could hear. Prior to us coming into the auditorium for the fashion show, we had been walking around the wedding booths looking at the exhibits and stuff, and I had been laughing and joking with the exhibitors, and there was this man that was walking around that had a red jacket and a walkie-talkie. I thought he was secured. What yeah. do I know? So he comes up behind us, and he's going, yeah, let her go on stage. Let her go on stage, because my mother is heckling him, and I'm trying to keep her calm. And he was like, okay, you want to come up on stage? So I walk up on stage, and he goes, and who are you? And I said, I'm Mother Love, baby. That's all right. In the microphone, he was like, ladies and gentlemen, Mother Love. You'd have thought I said, I am the second coming.
Yeah.
So I get up and I do like this 15-minute impromptu stand-up routine about getting married and, you know, how do you know that this is the right mate for you and, you know markers to know if you got this marriage is going to last.
Right.
They thought it was hilarious.
I bet it was hysterical.
It was hysterical.
Well,
Who knew? So I come off the stage, so they go, can you do this again tomorrow? I'm like, no, this is like sex. It's like you do it this time, and the next time you do it, it's going to be different. I don't know how I'm going to come to you, but I can come. I just don't know how I'm going to come to you and come with you. But I'll come back. And I said, but you got to feed me brunch, me and my wedding party. And I had 13 ladies, bridesmaids. Mm-hmm. And so and my sisters were in the wedding. So I called them up and I said, okay, y'all, listen. We could get brunch free down at the Renaissance Hotel. I'm going to do the bridal fair. And we could all go down there. We could drink mimosa. We could get drunk. We could go down there. We could eat up everything on the menu. But thank you, call again. Nobody believed me but my sister. Because my friends were always calling me up. This is Johnny Carson and we would like to book Mother Love. And this is Arsenio Hall. And then they would start laughing. You know, I'm like, you know what? Shut up.
Oh, so
we get to the hotel, and I do the. By the time I get on stage, I got advertising. I got a I didn't even know what a carafe was at the time. Mm-hmm. I got a coffee carafe. I got a diamond ring. I got a tiara on. I got a bridal veil. I got a big Bloomingdale's bag, and I do a 30-second commercial for each thing that I have on. I got travel brochures, and I just just go down, and everybody thought, oh my God, she's amazing. She's just amazing. So this was on the weekend. So that Monday, they called me down for an interview for the radio station. Remember I said I was driving a bus.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I go to work that morning, take my kids to school, and I always said to my kids, when I take you to school, I'm going to pick you up. So they gave me the job that day, put me on the air that day. And when you drive a school bus, you work a split shift. I work from 6 to 10 in the morning. I was off from 1 till, then I went back to work like at 2 o'clock, something like that,
right.
From 2 to 6. Well, I didn't go back and pick them kids up because I was on the radio.
Figure it out.
So I go to my job, and I said to my boss, I am quitting on my resignation slip. I'm quitting to be a star. He went, you better take your behind out there and star on that bus and go pick them kids up. I said, turn the radio on. I'm going to be on the radio. The kids would not get on the bus. We were on the 6 o'clock news. Peter Jennings came out. It was really embarrassing. I said, I quit the job. I'm coming back from the radio station. Here's my school bus in front of my house with the transportation director and my supervisor.
Really?
I was like, I didn't steal it. I don't have it. I don't know nothing. I don't know. I'm innocent. I didn't do nothing. I'm just on the radio. They said, your kids refuse to get on the bus. I got 66 little 4th, 5th, and 6th little white kids way from the west side. They over here way on the east side. And I got to take them all the way back on the west side. I'm dropping these kids off at 7, 8 o'clock at night. Their parents are hysterical. And I said, well, I got a new job on the radio. You can listen to me on the radio. And the guy who was the program, they were the station owners in Cleveland. He moved to California. And he was the program director at another talk radio station.
Mm.
And he says, I'm going to shake up L.A. talk radio.
Okay.
And I'm going to send for Mother Love.
Yeah.
No instruction, no direction, know anything. Pretty much like you did me. Here, mother, sit down. This is how you work the board, and you push this button. I was like, I can't push no button. So they gave me an engineer. And that's how I got into talk radio. Wow, they literally brought me here to be on the radio.
I love that. Man, it's just destiny, huh?
But how did you get your first job in radio?
I went to the bridal fair.
And bridal
The guy that was up on the stage who was sweating was the program director, and the guy in the little red jacket was the promotional director.
Okay,
so the next day,
gotcha.
They bring the station owner down, they bring the sales department down, they bring the rest of programming down.
That's called smart people. Yeah, they see talent.
And they
said, smart.
They said, wait till you see Mother Love. And the station owner and the GM kept saying, what's a Mother Love? I said, I'm not telling you. Just wait till you see it.
Yeah.
Just wait till you see. And I was the first woman of color to be on a Caucasian top 40 radio station in the nation.
Amazing.
This was in 1984.
Wow.
And this was here in L.A.,
No,
right?
This was in Cleveland.
Oh, that was still
on
a top
10 in a top 10 market.
Right.
And I did morning and afternoon drive.
Wow.
I was on with the morning guy. I did Dear Mother Love letters.
Mm. Uh-huh.
And I was like the Dear Abby of the Hood.
Right.
My boyfriend is cheating on me. What should I do? First of all, that's your boyfriend. And your boyfriend can't cheat. That's what make him your boyfriend.
Mm.
They plan the field. Second of all, you need to get a man. That's your problem. That would be my advice.
Good idea.
And then in the afternoon, I did the sports and the weather.
Oh, my gosh.
That's amazing.
It's cold. Put
some
drawers on. It's cold outside. I'll be coming to him with them ice cream clothes on. You know, good and good, you need some boots on. You knew that dress was too short when your butt put it on, so quit pulling at it. You knew that bra didn't fit. Come on. Work with a sister. And that's what I did.
Man, you just have the best personality. You can just tell people, everybody's
that's
made
why
for
why she's on radio.
Yeah,
know?
But yeah. Everybody's made for different purposes. So
yeah.
I just think that it's like, let the creative shine. Let people that are doing their thing, let them do it. You know, the haters be hating. Let them hate.
You know, I say, don't hate, celebrate. Don't
there
hate, congratulate.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know.
So from a skinny girl, you went into a very heavy woman, right?
Yes. I dieted my way up to being that very heavy woman.
Really?
I could lose weight. That's why I said people always say diets don't work. Diets work is when you come off of them that they stop working.
Yeah.
Right. You don't stick with that plan. And I couldn't. I'm not good with a habit being on a diet all the time. So I had to change my lifestyle.
Right.
I had
right.
to learn how to. I'm an emotional eater.
Mm.
Like most people are emotional eaters.
Right.
And I would eat emotionally. I would eat when I wasn't hungry.
Mm.
I would eat. My big problem was I didn't eat breakfast. I would wait until my blood sugar was in the toilet and I'm grabbing whatever I can get. And I wanted to eat late at night and go to sleep and couldn't figure out why I was having nightmares.
Mm. Wow.
So I had to learn to get up and my attitude toward food had to change.
Yeah.
Wow.
And instead of it being my familiar and eating because I'm depressed or I'm happy or I got a job or I got fired, I learned to eat for nutritional value.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I learned to add a lot of color to my food.
Mm.
I have a box of salt that I looked at the date the other day and it's been in my house since 2003.
Oh, wow.
Because I don't cook with salt.
So you don't use salt.
I don't have to. If you eat, when you put salt on your food at my table, you do it at the table. There's no need for me to.
So is salt fattening or is that the water?
It's the water retention,
right.
And because our
blood
our
pressure,
food,
yeah, and, like
your blood, and our food supply is so laden,
right.
Especially processed food.
Yes.
And I try to eat clean. We just can't win for losing. Just yesterday. They were talking about a pesticide that they're using on the fruits and vegetables that has a tendency that they're linking to adults and children having attention deficit disorder.
ADHD,
oh, really?
Right.
ADHD.
Because of a pesticide?
Because of a pesticide that they're using, and it's starting to... They haven't said that it is a direct cause. They're saying that they can link it to ADHD.
Mm.
Right.
You know, so I said, well, that explains why I can eat blueberries and walk into the room and can't remember what the hell am I doing in here.
That's funny.
I came in here for... I got ADHD.
There you go.
I got one son and one husband. I'm like, you and other you, and I couldn't call his
you
name.
You and other you.
I couldn't. He was like, that's a shame, mama. You got one son and one husband, and you can't remember what our name is, and two of us got the same name.
Yeah. So you felt you hit bottom being as, you know, heavy, fat, whatever.
I was morbidly obese. Let's just call this song exactly what it is. Because,
exactly.
You know, especially in our community, African-American community and the Latino community, we don't say we morbidly obese.
Yeah.
We're soft. We're juicy.
Yeah, healthy.
We fluffy. We zoftic. That was my favorite. I'm zoftic. You know, that's Yiddish for morbidly obese. And my rock bottom came when my sister dropped dead at 51 from a diabetic-induced heart attack.
Wow.
And this was after our mother dropped dead at 59, our father dropped dead at 31, my brother dropped dead at 39. And the same year my sister died at 51, that very same
These
year.
These are all diabetic-related?
All diabetic-related.
Really?
My youngest sister, who has type 1 diabetes, had her leg amputated.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So I was like, you know what? I got it. And I was at a Grammy party. And everybody was poo-pooing all over us, and a lot of the sports figures were there, you know, and everybody was, oh, mother, mother, because they don't let me out often, so when I go out, it's like a big treat, you know, when I'm on the red carpet. And so I was leaning on the pole on the red carpet, and I felt like I was just dying inside. My knees sounded like Rice Krispies. My hips were hurting, and I just felt I just couldn't do it anymore. For many, many years, I did a beauty pageant for plus-size women. That's one of our parent companies, the Regal Empress Showcase. We did the premier pageant for plus-size women. And it was very, very successful. We made a great deal of money. And it wasn't even about what size I was, because I've always been comfortable in my own skin. And coming from a family of plus-size women, they used to call us the Amazon women. We'd be the chicks walking into the club, into the bar, and all the fellas get up for us. All the fellas give us a seat. Everybody falling all over us, because my mother used to say, we big people. Decorate yourself pretty, because they can see you coming from a long way off.
I love it.
So
do you find in the African American community that there's more of an embracing of being a larger woman, and that's sexually, and just men are more attracted to heavier women, or what do you think?
I think that because being large in our community is so acceptable, it has never been a hindrance being plus size to being in a relationship. I always had a fine boyfriend. I got a good looking husband. So we never had it's not a social thing. It's not, you know, like my mother said, we big people, decorate yourself pretty, have pride in who you are and how you look and how you conduct yourself. You know, we were young women. You know, it wasn't, you don't just put on anything, like I was saying yesterday, just because they make it in your side, don't put your fat butt in it. You know, so we had to, you know, we had to dress appropriately. We had to wear brassieres that fit. We had to wear girdles when we were young. We had to wear slips. We had to wear stockings. You know, we had to be dressed appropriate. And so, and men appreciated the fact that we took pride in our appearance.
So it
didn't matter about, you know, you weighed 180.
So you projected confidence.
Always. And see, and that's what attracts. And women make this mistake when they're looking for men. Men like a woman who is confident. That's the sexiest thing you can wear to a man. A man does not want a needy woman. He doesn't need a clingy woman. And he does not need a woman who is desperate for a man. Men, I mean, we love you dearly.
Right.
Y'all ain't that bright. We love you. I don't know too many women.
I don't think we ever claimed to be bright.
You know, the sign of a good woman is one who lets her man think he running things. And, you know, I've been with my husband 38 years. This is my thing I say to him. Baby, yes, whatever you want. Then I'm going to do what I want. I know it's going to be in tune with what he needs and what he wants. I'm never going to do anything to be rude and disrespectful to him. I'm going to always put him in a light where he's to be elevated. You know, I don't argue with my husband in public. Not like we can get when we get in our room and I'll be arguing him. And, you know,
that's different. Yeah,
that's different. But I'm not going to
dishonoring him.
No, I would never, ever, ever be rude and disrespectful. And that's where a lot of women just simply don't know when to shut up.
No.
No. You just shut it down.
Yeah.
You know, if a man come and ask you, baby, what's wrong? And you say nothing, that's what he thinks. Nothing is wrong. Men, if you tell him something is wrong, he wants to, don't you, when your wife tell you something wrong, don't
you
want to
fix it, right? Yeah.
If you don't want him to fix it, don't tell him. Don't say, I want him to fix it. And then and when he works to try to fix it and he's working on fixing it, then you're going to tell him what to do. Yeah. When would you tell him that you need to shut up? Just shut your happy stuff up.
Yeah. Men don't bond the same way women do, right?
We don't.
Because women love to talk it out. We like to get our feelings out. And we expect them to be like women all of a sudden.
We can go, and you and I could go into the bathroom.
Oh, girl, we do it.
And we will come out and know everything about each other.
That's true.
You know why women go to the bathroom in a group?
No.
To talk about men.
Really?
Yeah, we talk about men in the bathroom. Men go to the bathroom to pee. We go in the bathroom to talk about men. You know, give a girlfriend a heads up. Girl, let me tell you, he's a low life. He a piece of scum. Let me tell you what he did, so and such and such. And you come on and go, he think he got his game on. You like, talk to the hand, dude. We already got your M.O. And they was like, she was in the bathroom with Mother Love. Why she got to tell? Because I want to see people be happy. You know, and sometimes men are low lives, and women can be so skanky and vicious. That's my word. I created that, and it just spread all across the world.
Skanky?
Skanky.
Oh, really?
Because
mm-hmm.
I know it. A bunch of skankos.
Oh,
and I just call them what they are. They just skanky, you know, skanky women. And skanky women are the ones that fool around with married men. Mm. And they would say, oh, he's a married man. He's a dog. Well, you's a tramp, a skank hoe, and you know he married. Mm. You know, like they dogging out Tiger Woods, you know, and Cannon. If somebody telling you all the time you can have whatever you want, and he has a pattern. His father, what people forget, was a serial cheater.
Mm.
And his mother tolerated that. So he's assuming that his wife, excuse me, you hooking up with the nanny. You not getting some college educated woman. You anytime you playing with somebody that doesn't have as many toys as you do, it's going to be a problem. Here this chick comes along, because you know his friend introduced him to his wife.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She was the nanny to his kids.
Oh, wow.
And the wife, she was coming on to him. And the wife was like, you got to go. You can't be up in here with my husband rolling around.
You're saying Tiger Woods' wife
was the
nanny
to
his friend.
To his friend.
And his wife now was coming on to the man.
Was coming on to the man, to the woman's husband.
Okay.
And the wife was, she nipped that in the bud. And she was like, you better do something about this because I'm going to have to lop her head off.
I thought she was a model or something like that.
She was a nanny.
Why do people think she was a model?
Because that, I don't know why y'all thought that. If you read the backstory, she was a nanny.
Right.
She was a nanny. Her goal was to come to the United States of America, marry a rich athlete, have his children, take half of his fortune, and go back to Sweden. That was her plan. She thought she was going to do it with this guy. And the wife was like, that's how she was going to get in. That's how she got into
just,
that.
Let's use a little brain power for a second.
She was a little skanko.
Listen, you know, if I got a husband, I got whatever. My point is, interview nanny time comes. She's not going to be as hot as me.
No.
In fact, she's going to have some jacked up teeth.
Yeah. Her grill got to be all right, but she can have a beard. She can have a mustache.
My point
exactly.
is,
exactly. I mean, you see, you have to understand.
She's not stepping. If I can't be there and the nanny's there cleaning and the nanny's hot, it's not going down.
No.
It's not going down. Use a little head power, right?
You do not hire a 23-year-old tight butt,
smoking hot,
smoking hot chick to watch over your little kids while you parade
while
around.
While you're gone, no.
I don't think
so.
Yeah,
but that's, you know, I mean, you don't have to have a beautiful woman for a man to cheat.
That's,
you know,
that's
it's
true
like
too.
They look for different.
But I just think use
better,
a little sense.
Know?
I mean, not that it's a jealousy thing, but it's also kind of like
common sense.
Set him up for success.
Right.
Duh.
Get somebody that's got an overbite or something like that. You know,
you don't get somebody younger than you. Men are visual beings, you know, and she's walking around and she's got on, you know, she's, you know, going through his laundry, putting on his shirts with her little thongs on, walking around the house, picking up the kids. The wife came home one day and she in the house with the husband's shirt on.
Really?
With the husband's shirt on, out the laundry, walking around. I'm like, ooh, the wife came in. She was like, no. She got to go. She got to go. And they hooked him up.
Why did they even pass her on then? I don't understand that.
Look, don't ask me. You know, Tiger should have, you know, but these athletes get involved with these little young girls. And they're playing with people that don't have as much to lose as they do.
Mm.
What do you expect?
Right.
Well, I mean, what could you possibly expect? She's a nanny. She came over here. Her sole purpose was to marry a wealthy athlete. And that's documented. Mm-hmm. I've read that in several things. And you know, if it's in the Inquirer or the Globe, that's gospel to me.
It's got to be true.
That, you know, that's just, you know, everybody used to dog me out about the, you know, I'm reading in the National Enquirer and in the Globe. And it was like, that's just trash. Well, how come it come out to be the truth? How come they up for a Pulitzer Prize? I'm just asking my guy, Mike Walker. I'm never in it because they said I don't do anything. I'm bored.
Yeah.
That's hysterical. So it is documented. I'm going to look this up.
It's documented. She came over here. As a nanny. When she came, she wasn't a nanny. She was an au pair.
What's an au pair?
I don't know, but she graduated to nannyhood or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And she graduated to Tiger Woods, and then she got these babies and caring and all. You know, and you cannot tell me if she got a brain in her head. You cannot tell me she does not think that this guy is going to set up the pattern like his father did. You cannot tell me. You know, most of these athletes and these very wealthy people feel like they have all the money in the world, now I can do whatever I want. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It's about what kind of steward are you going to be over your life. I know some very, very wealthy people who are absolutely miserable.
Right.
Because they have no foundation.
Right.
And I know I want to pattern my life after who is one of my heroes, Warren Buffett. I love Warren Buffett. I was just absolutely in love with Reginald Lewis, who was the head of, I think it was Dole or some big food company. And he died suddenly at 56 or 53 or something like that. But they were good stewards over the money. They're good stewards. Like Warren Buffett said, he's not leaving no money to his kids. They can get out and go to work just like he did.
Yeah.
They have a sense of work ethic.
Right, right.
And a sense of morality. And that's what we've lost in this country.
Mm.
We cannot keep saying we're the greatest country on the face of the planet and we bobo heads. And we're not good stewards over the land. We're not good stewards over our resources. We're not good stewards over our children. We're not good stewards over our health. We just think everything go. We can just do anything. No, you can't, and not expect to have any consequences.
Right.
You can't do anything and not expect to have consequences. These are the consequences of his actions.
Right. So now, where do you stand politically? I mean, I would imagine you're pretty conservative, right?
I've been accused of being a closet Republican.
Yeah.
and where do I stand politically?
You know, I mean, you have certain like ways that you feel people should be. And, you know, I mean, I listen to your show, you know, the way people dress, the way people come across and things like that. That's kind of conservative, no?
To a point.
Right.
I'm conservative to a point. I think we need to have, we have no sense of shame in this country anymore. You know, our kids just use all kind of vulgar language. We use all kind of vulgar language.
I mean, specifically this culture, too, in
it
L.A.
Is.
I mean, it's just.
Oh, it's all across the country.
It is.
I see it everywhere.
Is. Yeah, it is.
And there's no sense of shame. There's no sense of order. There's no sense of organization. There's no sense of there really is no sense of shame. You know, we can just do anything, say anything, talk any kind of way to anybody. You know, I see kids, you know, talking back to their parents and, you know, balling their fists up at their. I wish my mother would roll over in her grave 18 times if she even thought. You know, my grandchildren would even talk them back to me because I don't tolerate that.
Yeah.
So I would say I'm pretty conservative. I think once you make the commitment to be married, stick to that commitment. And I do know things happen, but you got to work it out. You don't stand there and get involved in an institution and think you could just make up the rules as you go along.
Right.
I think it's wrong for a man to put his hands on a woman. I also think it's wrong for a woman to put her hands on a man if it's not in a loving manner. and everybody ain't book naked. You know what I'm saying. I think there's a certain way we ought to conduct ourselves as adults and as authoritative figures. And I think there's a certain way that we should expect our children to behave, but we can't expect them to behave in a civilized manner if we're not going to be civilized. I think one of the worst things that ever happened to this country is welfare. I think them taking prayer out of schools has really, really hurt this country. I think people coming over here from different countries and wanting to change our culture is a problem. You don't like it, get out.
Yeah.
You know, if I went to Mexico, I'm gonna have to learn to speak Spanish.
Right.
You come here from Mexico,
assimilate.
You need to learn to speak English.
Mm.
I think it's unfair to people who come here and don't want to learn the common language of English. It's wrong for them to take the DMV test. California has, I think, the DMV test in like 23 different languages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but when you get out there, that sign says stop in English.
Yeah.
That sign says merge in English.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in Farsi. It's not in Hebrew. It's not in Spanish. It's in English. So you're putting these drivers at a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. I think it's unfair. I think it's unfair to teach English as a second language. When they come here, you want to put the kids in the school, they should be mandatory to learn the language. I think it's bogging down our resources. I think it would be unfair, this whole immigration law, to put 12 million immigrants out of the country who are here illegally. What they need to do is make them become citizens of this country.
Okay.
They need to hire some immigration people to make sure that they become, and they need to go and find out who they are. And, you know, everybody talking about, well, you know, I'm an undocumented worker. Well, your behind need to be documented. If you're a documented worker, you don't have to worry about the immigration company coming up behind you saying, well, let me see your papers.
Right.
If you are in this country legally, you should not have a problem. You only got a problem because you're here sucking up the resources, sending your money back to God knows wherever you're sending it back, and you don't want to become a citizen of this country. You just want to suck up the resources. That's wrong.
Right. And they're breaking the law as well. You know, I mean, the thing is that there's a lot of people get deported for being undocumented, and then these people just come in here and they feel a sense of entitlement, you know, and that's a problem.
It's a huge problem.
Yeah. Anyway, we have Mother Love in the studio. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
A lot of fun.
We are
out of time.
Oh, my
goodness. You are awesome, though. You have so much life and love. Mother Love.
And,
check her out.
And she's not here by accident at all. She's definitely one of the best in radio. You can catch her every weekday at 2 o'clock. The Mother Love Show. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
All the best to you.
You too. Thank you for the opportunity.
Of course. Kira, thank you so much. And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio Studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.